Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's my distinct pleasure to present to you
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
We announced when the show began, Justin Turner was pulled from this game just before 10 o'clock, 9:49 local time in Arlington. We were told after the game he tested positive for COVID.
2020 is going to be remembered.
Thanks to everyone for reaching out. I feel great, no symptoms at all, just experience every emotion you could possibly imagine. Can't believe I couldn't be out there to celebrate with my guys.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
But one way or the other, we're playing in Major League Baseball.
Switch places with him right now, I would. That man, more than anybody, deserves to take a picture with that
piece of metal.
Celebrate with us, you know, have his family around and enjoy this moment. And, you know, that got taken away from him, and that's just not right. You know, that doesn't sit well.
I have to say, I made one mistake.
It's a bittersweet night for us.
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Night 6 to 10.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
On 670 The Score.
So what are they doing, Joe? What are they doing?
Can't take that away from him. Let's have one big old COVID party. Welcome on in. Not here. You're not going to have that here. There are a lot of cases. There's nuance with sports arguments. There are two sides of a story. Many different angles to take. And I'm going to address one of those. As everyone's destroying Kevin Cash over the last 24 hours. There are not two sides to this Justin Turner story. There are not two sides. Jordan Malley, the executive producer, Joe Ostrowski here. We've got Bears replay at 8 o'clock. I will be here till then. Jordan, I was like, did I miss a read? I thought I didn't have to do a read until 6:30, bottom of the hour. I'm like, did I do something wrong? We heard that dead air there. What exactly happened? Because I've been in your chair many, many times. Show starting, and you know something goes wrong at the most inopportune time.
Tanny was sitting here too. In the 18 months I've been here, I've never had it where I hit the open and literally nothing is working. The red lights are on. The open says it's playing, but it's not playing. So wide orbit, I just think decided not to work in the.
But it was just a 5 second delay. It was just a 5 second delay, so it worked. It
people
worked
had to gather their thoughts before my open.
Did you get nervous or not care because it's me?
No. I knew we had 14 seconds. I'm like, all right, something's got to happen. I've never seen that before on this board before, though.
I'm like, Jordan's not telling me to go in my ear. Usually tells me something's going on. Like if I had to do a read and Rick Camp's producing, like he doesn't even tell me half the time I have a read. And then he's like, hey, why didn't you do that read? Well, but with you, like you're you're on top of it. Sorry, bus toss to start things off on a Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. Yeah, it is Wednesday. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Okay, we got Jordan Malley in the house. Well, he's in the house. I'm at home in my basement. That's how we still do things here in October. Didn't think that would be the case here during football season, but that's state of the situation. Phone lines are open. You can call or text 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Find me on Twitter. Follow me there. You can hit me up at Joe0670, at Joe0670. A lot of baseball conversation. We've got some Bears news. It's not what I was hoping to hear. Nuh-uh. Not what I was hoping to hear. Because I was putting together a very strong case for you guys, for Bears, Saints. Everybody selling their Bears stock. And when that's going on, they say buy low in the market. And I thought I was going to be able to make a case for Bears side against the Saints. But, you know, some of the information we're getting today on that injury report, not as optimistic. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But we've got to start with the World Series. The Dodgers win it, as many people have expected. We've been expecting it to happen for years with the amount of talent that they have on that roster. Happens for the first time since 1988. Some people talk like that's a long time. They aren't Cubs or White Sox fans, because all of us had to wait a very, very long time. I remember 1988. Wasn't that long ago. The last Bears championship was before that. I mean, get out of here with it. Oh, the drought. The championship drought for the Dodgers. Please. Most of us can remember that. If you're younger listening to AM radio, I appreciate all of you. But come on. Kevin Cash decision. Is it story one or story two? You can decide. We'll get to the Justin Turner thing in a moment. There are not two sides. I think there are two sides to Kevin Cash. Absolutely are. First off, all this chatter we've been hearing every year about how managers don't matter, no matter what you believe, I think most people, at least what I've heard and what I've seen in social media, what I see on television, heard on the radio, they seem to have a strong opinion on this. I don't know that I fall into that category. But if you have a strong opinion, is it in line with how you feel about managers and their value in the game in 2020 going into the 2021 season? The easy thing to do is to blast Cash, because you cannot possibly be wrong. You literally have the results on your side, and if you crush them, you're right. You're right. Maybe you did get your opinion out there in social media and a whole five people saw your tweet or your Facebook post. But it's hard to be wrong. Hindsight is 20/20. He gets pulled and they lose the game. What's the reaction? You know the bullet points. You've heard it. You've read it. You've seen it all day. Blake Snell's a stud. What is he doing? 9 strikeouts. You let your guy roll. What is wrong with you? Why are you going to the pen? Mookie Betts hasn't hit left-handed pitchers all year. Regular season, postseason, hitting 200, slugging 218, 531 OPS, weighted runs created plus of 56. That's really bad. So he pulled them. They lost. Series over. Dodgers champs. That's what you hear all day. If he leaves Snell in the game and they lose, what's the reaction? Is it, well, you went down with your best guys? I don't think so. It's all quite predictable. If Snell stays out there, gives up the double to Mookie Betts, gets hurt by the top of the order. Remember the state of the game. One swing changes everything. So it's not like the Rays were sitting out there with a 4-run lead. If Snell stays out, they lose the game. The reaction is, come on. You're all about the analytics. You're the Rays. What happened? Third time through the order, you never leave Snell out there. What the hell is he doing? Third time, you take him out. You know his numbers. You've been preaching about the numbers all year. That's how you've built your organization. Now he's your workhorse. All season, he's out. Two times through the order. Okay, it's not going to be 3. You're done. But now you want him to be your workhorse? Trust your bullpen. You've been trusting your bullpen all year. You've been doing it to the postseason. It's what got you to the World Series game number 6. That's the reaction. So Kevin Cash losing the game no matter what, he was going to be the bad guy. He was going to all of a sudden be a terrible manager. Terrible. Where do I stand? Analytics are a terrific tool. Sometimes common sense has to factor in. And that's the part I just can't get past. I understood the decision. I understood the process. So I'm not going to crush him. However, in that spot, season on the line, what do you want to do? Take it all in. You see how Snell's looked. Take it all in. Do you want to go down? About to be eliminated. Do you want to go down with Nick Anderson against Mookie Betts or Blake Snell against Mookie Betts? Not a hard decision. You have stats to back up either call, right? If you pull them, you have stats to back that up. If you leave him out there, you can back that up as well because he's been bad against lefties for about a year. But that's how I look at it. Okay, we've got all the information. Now what are we going to do with that information? That's it. Lead you to believe that before the game, he sat down with the front office and they talked about all this. Third time through, he just gave up a hit. He's out. Doesn't matter. That's how we're going to handle this. The situation changed with how Snell was looking. The situation changes with how Mookie Betts was looking against Snell. So I would have kept him out there. That's what I would have done. But that is the easy thing to say today. It is. I'm not going to crush him. I'm not. Bottom line is, they lost. And no matter what he decided to do, it was going to be the wrong decision because it didn't work. Joe Maddon taught us, many people have taught us, process over results, no matter what you're talking about, whether it's sports or in life, and that's not a bad idea. However, I would lean to, it wasn't the right decision. Obviously, the results show us it wasn't the right decision. But you feel me. You understand where I'm going with this. I don't know that he should be absolutely crushed like he's hearing it today, because you can make a case for either decision. Didn't work out? All right, it's easy to just yell at Kevin Cash today. But the amount of talent on that Dodgers roster, were they going to overcome that? Didn't look like it. Still have to score runs on your side. Still have to score runs. That's where I stand with the Kevin Cash stuff. Now, I did put it out there like, oh, do managers matter now? Didn't mean I had a strong opinion on what Cash did or did not do. It just meant they are still impactful. Now, the reality of the situation that they're not going to talk about is what's going on behind the scenes. Now, there's a game plan. Both of those managers out there last night, the game plan is out. It's set. See, this can be the problem moving forward with the state of the game right now. How are you going to be able to adjust on the fly? You needed to adjust by seeing how Snell looked. Having the game plan is great, right? What did Mike Tyson say? Great to have a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Well, you had more information. They had more information with how Snell was rolling in that game. Maybe they didn't even expect him to look that good. That's why I would have kept him out there a little bit longer. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. You want to check in 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Did you boo as loud as I did? Did you? I wrapped up The Score show at about 10 o'clock last night, and I was in my basement yelling during that post game, just yelling at Manfred.
Piece of metal.
It sounded, Jordan, didn't it sound like there were a lot more than 11,000 people there?
Oh, 100%. Even after the game, like, what?
Great. Yeah. The worst commissioner in sports. The worst. Oh, he's making a big deal. But I thought it was just a piece of metal, Bobby. I thought it was just a piece of metal.
Piece of metal.
What are you making a big deal about it? What was happening? I didn't make fun of him. With the presentation of Seager with the MVP award, But what was going on? Was he thrown off? Was he nervous knowing millions of people were watching him? He was getting booed by 10, 11,000 people, but it felt like 100. Was it the echo in an earpiece? Like, I don't know what was happening there. Seriously, there were some people that were guessing, like, is he legitimately having a stroke right now? Like, I don't know what was going on. I have no idea. Here's something I do know. And this was one of the, this was top of mind, along with all the madness that was going on last night. Wow, was that wild. Breaking news, Justin Turner pulled from the game because he has coronavirus. Unreal. There are so many moments that are unbelievable. I mean, seriously, Dodgers winning the World Series was like the third or fourth storyline from last night. But one of the leads for me was, yeah, Dodgers Rays. Two best teams in the World Series. What does that mean for next year? Oh, it's pretty impactful. It's pretty impactful. Think about the rule changes that we saw. Think about that. I want to get to that on the other side. With the results that we got from the shortened 2020 season, I think it's going to mean a couple of things for the 2021 season, and therefore mean a whole lot to your Cubs or your White Sox. Also talk more about the analytics and how they're involved in sports. On my show, Bet Sweats, today, I talked to somebody at Pro Football Focus, and he gave some pretty strong examples about having conversations with current NFL head coaches and how they react to some of the suggestions that are made behind the scenes. Like, what goes into the thinking? What is the entire process? We'll get to that coming up. Joe Osho, 670 The Score, and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It's my distinct pleasure to present to you
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
Thanks, Bobby. Was that fun last night? You enjoy it?
I have to say, I made one mistake.
Jordan Malley, my executive producer. Now, Jordan, you think he was having a panic attack out there for the MVP part, but not when he was up there with ownership?
It's tough. Like, I think he was having an anxiety attack. Like, everything set in, realized he couldn't talk. Maybe it was part with the feedback too, but like, that to me was like a panic anxiety type of attack. Or he was drunk. Those are the two that I was going with.
There's no way he was drunk, because he knew that if the Dodgers win, it was more likely than not that he was going to be on national TV handing out the trophy, handing out the MVP award, going to do all sorts of interviews, probably go on all the networks, Fox, MLB Network, all that stuff. I know it sounded that way and people were laughing about it, but there's no way he was drunk.
Then, to me, as somebody who suffers from anxiety, like that, to the point where you're thinking about it minutes before going up there, and then all of a sudden you've got one little distraction with the thing in his ear, and maybe that was happening, and then all of a sudden you just collapse and you're like, I'm stuttering, I don't know how to talk now. Like, that's how I took it.
And the commissioners always get booed, right? They're evil. They're the worst. Bettman gets it more than anyone. Maybe now Manfred has surpassed him since he is the worst commissioner in all of sports. But I don't think he's ever dealt with anything like that. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, I was going to say Goodell's pretty used to it too. Like, walking to the podium at the drafts. Like, he is cool, calm, and collected no matter what the crowd is doing.
Right, yeah. He's used to it. He knows it's coming. 312-644-6767. That's how you call. That's how you text here. 670 The Score. This is Joe Ostrowski on Twitter at Joe0670. All right, rules that'll stick. So I would say, for the most part, Major League Baseball did a good job. There were issues in the beginning, a concern about the Cardinals and the Marlins, and there were some games missed as expected. But even though they had to travel and they only stayed in the Central team stayed in the Central. East Coast teams out East, West, West. So there was some travel involved, but it went pretty well for Major League Baseball. I expect them to use this 60-game season as a way to get what they want. DH has already been implemented. Jordan, have you heard? Honestly, there were some National League people old school baseball fans that pushed against the DH. But once it was implemented this year, I didn't hear any complaints about it. Did you?
No, I didn't. Like, I don't understand the argument against it. Like, the purity thing, I get, right. But like you said, after.
But even once it would. But I'm just saying, for the people that were holding out and it was in the game, like, once it started happening, I didn't hear people say how much they hate it.
100%. I think a lot of people that are fans of AL teams already get it. And like the NL, the small amount of purists there, after the first five or six games, your team benefits from it. One game, you're like, all right, I'm on board for this forever.
Three batter minimum, that was coming, and that is staying in the game. So we got the DH, three batter minimum. The runner on second base to start extra innings. I think that was the one rule that really got a lot of people. However, for the most part, it felt like baseball fans, broadcasters were fine with it. Maybe they don't love it, but they could deal with it. I think that's going to stick because they want it to stick. Did you hear any issues on that one, Jordan? Am I missing anything?
I heard a lot of people that didn't like it, but I'm a fan of
it. Once
it
started?
Yes.
Once it started, did you hear it?
Yes. Once it started, I heard a lot of people push back and like, I guess maybe not as much because of the shortened season, but I would imagine through 162 games in a regular season, people are going to complain about it. But like, I love it. I love it as a newer baseball fan. I think it adds a weird, distinct element to regular season games that you wouldn't normally get. I'm totally against it in the playoffs and the World Series, though. Just saying.
Agree. Expanded playoff format. They wanted this before COVID. They were trying to get this in. This will 100% stay. Probably not 16 teams, but more playoffs than we saw a couple of years ago. No doubt. We don't even know when they start the 2021 season if there are going to be fans allowed. Maybe if there are fans allowed, how many fans? Owners are going to continue to lose money, and they're going to cry about it. And they're going to want some money. More money. Well, more playoff teams, more dollars for Major League Baseball. They wanted 14 teams a couple of years ago. They're going to get it. They just did a 16-team playoff format. I think all of us would agree that even if they played 162 games, Dodgers are probably your number one seed in the National League, and the Rays would be up there. Maybe they don't win the regular season division in the AL East. Maybe the Yankees pull it out. Possibly. But they're one of the best teams in baseball. And so you had the best team in each league meet in the World Series, and the Dodgers win in six. The most talented team in all of baseball. And that cannot be argued. Deepest, most talented. Hasn't always worked for them in the postseason, but they've compiled the most amount of talent. And they win the World Series, and the commissioner and all the owners are going to point to this and say, see, baseball is not as random as a lot of people like to suggest. We're going to keep the expanded playoff format, maybe not 16. We don't want to be the NBA or NHL, but we're going to have more playoff teams. We want 12 or 14. I think they're going to roll with 14 teams, and we're getting close to seeing some below 500 teams make the playoffs. That's just how it's going to be. But that is going to stay. I mean, once they started making, oh, it's just a one-year thing. Please, please. They put in everything that they want in the game, and they use this season as an excuse. Put an asterisk next to it if you want. But I don't think anybody's really doing that because we had the two best teams in the very end, and the Dodgers are your champions. It's not like a team that barely made the postseason won the World Series. So we're going to have more playoffs. In the future, more playoff teams in the future.
Joe,
probably
I'm
not
all for
16.
It, man. I'm all for it. Do you think
you want 16?
Yes. And this is the one qualifier that every series goes to seven games. I think that makes it more fair. Like the complaints from players, I can totally understand. Is like the same thing with the wild card now. Is like three game playoff or a one game playoff. It's like after all of those games. So to me, I think they need to change it, expand the playoffs, but also expand the series too to seven games apiece
and shorten the regular season.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
What, with the 60 games, was there any results, any team in the postseason or any team that missed out that you thought, you know what was missing? we missed 162. We needed a larger sample size to see if that's a quality roster. No, that didn't happen, right? I didn't think so.
The Cubs? You don't think so? That you didn't need more games to see what they were? I would have said yes, and this is again hindsight.
But they look at the competition though. They play probably the two worst divisions in baseball.
That's true.
With all the bottom feeders. So that was part of it. I mean, we were seeing the same thing about the White Sox all year. Like, okay, the record's great, but are they really this good? They haven't been tested against some of the other teams, the other good teams in the game. So, I mean, that was part of it too. But we had a good idea what these teams were, right? Like, okay, Cubs, cool. Won the division. Are you good? Were you fooled by them? I mean, you worked a lot of those broadcasts. You watched a lot of those games. Did you think they were going to make a deep run in the playoffs? If anybody was watching those games, being honest with themselves, I don't think anybody here in the city believed that.
I was waiting for it to turn for a lot of those guys, the hitters, especially like Baez and Bryant and guys that were struggling all year. I was like, okay, if they can just get to one week where all of a sudden these guys are hot and turn it on, then there you go. And I was still like, I'm a Sox fan, but I was still banking on the Cubs being able to do that. And that's why I'm saying, like, even getting past 60 games, if you play double those games, it would make it more intriguing for me. But again, like, you're not getting past the Dodgers, even if the Cubs were on fire going into the playoffs. Team's too good.
How much can you cut the season and would ownership agree? Like 150, that doesn't get it done for me. Maybe that's where the compromise would come in. But if you double the length of the season and you're at 120, like, I'm cool with that. We have more playoff games like you suggest. Have 7-game series. I'm okay with that. I don't have an issue.
Also, too, like shortening the season would make some of the games more impactful, some of the series more impactful.
That's true.
But what happens, too, if the NBA decides to change the way that they're scheduled, and all of a sudden now your no competition in the summers is NBA games, and then the finals in August when you're going down to the final stretch? Like, that, I think, needs to be considered, too, and monitored, and I'm sure it is, but that would intrigue
me. And they've already agreed to shorten the season, right?
The NBA season this year?
The next season.
Yes, coming up. They haven't agreed to anything yet, but the layout is to play 70 games instead of 82.
I mean, that's significant. When you look at the percentage of games lost, that's kind of big.
Yes, it is. And it's more condensed, too. If they want to stay on the similar schedule that they normally were on, I mean, you're playing probably 3 or 4 games in a week as opposed to 2 or 3.
That would be like Major League Baseball cutting 20 games. I'm good with that. 20 regular season games, more playoffs. I don't think anybody would really complain. But who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if they're going to have full crowds at those baseball games whenever those seasons start? And maybe they're going to keep pushing it back till they're allowed to have fans, if that's even on the horizon. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I wanted to bring you this. I teased it. So let me get to this. So Pro Football Focus's Eric Eager, I get the opportunity to talk to him every single week. He covers a lot of the NFL and the betting angles for Pro Football Focus. But the story, obviously, of the day is what happened in the World Series. So I wanted Jordan to grab a chunk of the conversation I had this morning on my radio.com show, Bet Sweats. It airs live 9 to 11 a.m. on the radio.com app. Please subscribe to the podcast, and then you can check out what you're interested in. Jordan, how does this part of the conversation start, and just weaving in analytics into sports like they do with football, and how some of these teams do much more in baseball?
So the conversation starts with Eager talking about all the bettors that maybe might be a little bit disappointed with the Tampa Bay Rays, and ultimately what he thinks from a betting side of Snell being removed in that game. And it was a fantastic conversation, Joe.
All right, take a listen. This is Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus with myself and Ross Tucker this morning on BetSweats.
It's obviously disappointing if you're a Rays fan or you bet on the Rays, you know, at +120 or whatever it ended up. I think maybe it closed even lower than that. But, and obviously, like, one of the things I always like to ask people when it comes to football is, let's say you have a bet on a team and they decide to punt on fourth down, are you relieved? And if the answer is yes, then generally speaking, the decision to punt was a bad decision, right? Because we all know in some of our, you know, in our heart of hearts that, like, in many ways, you know, fourth down decisions are too conservative. And when a team goes for it on fourth down, they're more likely to convert it than not. And so in that test, that, like, sort of like rule of thumb, if I bet on the Dodgers and I see the Rays go out there, and I did that bet on the Dodgers last night, and the Rays go out there and take out their starting pitcher, I was pretty relieved. So in that heuristic, I don't think it was a good decision for the Rays. That being said, you go back and look at the data, and the guy's fastball, you know, miles per hour had declined. I mean, pretty steadily the last four or five pitches he had. He hung a couple off speed pitches as well. And, you know, it was sort of this, like, what you really want to do in sports and sports betting. And, you know, whether you're running a team or analyzing a team, you don't want to respond to what happened as much as you want to respond to what you think will happen. And so, you know, it's tough to argue the counterfactual. We have, you know, the Pedro Martinez going out in the third, for the third time around the order against, I believe, the Yankees in the early 2000s and getting shelled, right? Like, that's the sort of genesis of all this analysis of, you know, how pitchers perform in the X time through the order after a certain number of pitches. And that's really where the Rays are going off of. So I lean the side of the Rays there, but I can understand people being upset about the decision that was made.
So my question, Eric, for any of these pressurized situations, anything where it's really coming down to whether or not someone can be clutch, like, we all know, and I said this twice already in the show, right, but Clayton Kershaw has not been as good in the postseason as he has been the regular season. So if you're just looking at the numbers and you're basing on this big sample size of the regular season every year, we know that he's not as good in the postseason. Flip side would be Joe Flacco plays better in the playoffs than he ever did in the regular season. Or Carson Wentz plays better in the fourth quarter than he does the other three quarters. That's for sure. So are the numbers able to take into account? In other words, when they're taking the 162-game sample size, those aren't none of those are really like pressurized Game 6 World Series situations. Are there any ways, factors that the analytics community can try to account for what I will call highly pressurized situations?
It's tough. I mean, because the sample becomes so small that, generally speaking, all the factors outweigh, like, you draw, like, the credible intervals. When we talk about it, next Tuesday, there'll be the election, right? And all these things are going to have, you know, plus or minus 5 percentage points. Well, we do the same exact thing in sports, and generally speaking, the smaller than you make the sample, the larger you make those standard errors. And those standard errors tend to overlap in situations where you have a small sample. So, like, I can think of, like, Tim Tebow was the exact same way. Like, he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean until the fourth quarter. And then he had a number of games where he looked like Steve Young in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, that happened until it didn't anymore, right? And then, you know, there are other instances, obviously, like Pedro Martinez was a clutch pitcher until the one time he flamed out against the Yankees in, I believe, 02 or 03. I can't remember the year. But what you're saying is, I think, something that analytics people have acknowledged for a long time. I mean, Billy Bean, who I believe just left the Oakland A's, said, quote, my stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. After you get to the playoffs, it's all luck. Yep. So it is tough. I mean, the issue is, and I think about this with some football teams too. There's a different way to win 95 out of 162 games than there is to win 4 out of 7. And that's a really tough thing. I mean, in some ways, like, that's why I'm sympathetic to the idea of keeping him in, because, like, I would take him out in a regular season game 100 times out of 100, but my goals are different. My goals are to win 100 out of 162 games. My goal last night is to win one game, you know, and in some ways the difficult thing is, if he sucks and he gives up a 3-run homer and you lose that game, it doesn't matter if you lost the game 7-1 or you lost the game 2-1, like, the or 3-1, the way that they did, you're eliminated no matter what. So Whereas if he goes out the other tail end distribution is that he continues to throw a shutout and you win the game 1-0, then you move on to game seven. So it's just hard. I can see where the Rays are coming from, obviously, and trying to get out ahead of it. But it, like I said, I'm sympathetic towards the view of Rays fans where it's like, gosh, there are limits to some of these notions, especially when you get into these one game, one off sample situations.
It's so fascinating as we switch over to football. I'm wondering if there's any conversations across your mind that you've had in the PFF office with some of your coworkers that relate to this situation, because people say analytics, it's ruining the game. See what the Rays are doing. It didn't work for them. Analytics aren't the answer to everything. However, some of the matchup stuff involved in this specific situation, bets this year, smaller sample size, terrible against lefties, only hitting 200, weighted runs created plus of only 56, and then you got Snell who's rolling. So at some point, does common sense enter the situation? Season on the line. Do I want Snell versus Betts, who's been bad against lefties, but it is Snell's third time through the order, or do I want season on the line Nick Anderson going up against Mookie Betts? Is there any comp that you can think, conversations that you guys have had at PFF with football or something like that where you can see both sides of it?
Yeah, I mean, we had a head coach in our office once who, you know, there was a high-profile game where he kicked two field goals on fourth downs. And, you know, when we were demoing some of our analysis tools with him, you know, we said, you look, the both of these situations, you're giving up a 5% edge to go for, you know, to kick a field goal on these plays. And, you know, he said, and, you know, again, like these are the reasons why you build models, you know, because he said, well, look, like we're in this particular stadium, we're on this end of the field, you know, wind is a little bit less so on this side of the field, so our likelihood to make a field goal is higher. The crowd noise on this side of the field is louder, so we're going to have a harder time getting off the ball and all these kinds of things. And those are all true. And this is why, you know, like it may, you know, it's why people like me, you know, have conversations with, you know, the Ross Tuckers of the world and the people within the NFL, because we want to incorporate those into our models. But I think that the thing that math can really help you do is understand the limitations of these edge cases. Like I know how much, you know, so when Seattle has the ball, you know, backed up against Minnesota, I know how much their probability of scoring that last touchdown decreases because there's rain and that kind of thing. Whereas, like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, there's rain, they have no chance of scoring, right? Or it's a sunny day, they have 100% chance of scoring. Where in reality, the answer is somewhere in the middle. And part of betting and part of making good decisions is understanding and pricing that in properly, right? Like being a minus 200 favorite is a lot different than being a minus 300 favorite. But to the average person, they're not that far apart.
That was Eric Eager on my radio.com sports betting show, Bet Sweats. And as you can tell right there, it's not all about sports betting. So if you're really into the NFL, college football this time of year, make sure you check out that show. It airs live on the radio.com app. Just search it or subscribe to the podcast. Or if you want to watch video live, you want to see me hanging out in my office basement, radio.com/BetSweats. Do that show with NFL analyst Ross Tucker Monday through Friday. Again, 9 to 11 a.m. We have a little fun there. A lot of fun, actually. And Eli Hershkovich, who used to be at 670 The Score, he's the executive producer, and he's also on there a bunch as well. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. A couple things I want to get into next, including Justin Turner. And the statement that was released by Major League Baseball, it doesn't sound like they're playing around, but some of it's for show. And I'm noticing a trend in the games Bears are winning and the games the Bears are losing. I'm Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Ready?
Not ready. Hey, Jordan Malley, pop on the mic for a second. This is Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm laughing because you play that drop of Mike Francesa. And you know Gio from the morning show on WFAN in New York with Boomer?
Yes.
Boomer's co-host?
Yes.
So I just saw the video clip on Twitter of this, Did you see this Francesa story?
I did not.
I just saw it out there today. So I don't know if it was from today's show or was an older one. But Gio's telling the story about, so he's in Chernoff's office. And Chernoff is the big boss over there. Kind of, you know, he's our, like Mitch Rosen here at 670, the score. And he's in the office talking to Chernoff. Gio's in the boss's office. And here comes Francesa rolling in. Doors open. They're just chatting. And there's a big table in the middle of Chernoff's office. And Francesa walks into the office. Doesn't say anything to either of them. Takes Chernoff and just kind of throws him to the side, brushes him to the side, gets to the table, and sticks his big paw in the middle of the desk. There's a big bowl of candy corn. Takes a fistful of candy corn, doesn't say a word to either of them, and walks away.
Unreal.
I'm sure they're all really upset that he no longer works there.
Oh,
really,
man,
really upset.
Like, I would pay good money to see him like react to a terrible Jets team or like a awful Giants loss again. Cause like he's still got his fastball. It might be one every 100 pitches, but still, like when he does, it's gold.
Well, you've got to do it every day because all the teams there suck outside of the Yankees, right?
It's true. And it's so true.
Terrible. Terrible. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, the score. So let me grab MLB statement on Justin Turner today. Here's MLB's statement. This was released at 2:09 Central Time. Immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to the removal of Justin Turner from last night's game. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While a desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. So MLB says they are launching a full investigation. Well, sounds like you know what happened. What's the reason for the investigation? Turner's a jerk. He's selfish. He doesn't care about anybody else. I don't care what your political leanings are. When we're talking about someone who has been tested positive, we don't know that's false positive. As far as we know, it's real. Tested positive, not wearing a mask on the field, and he's around all his teammates, who many probably have it right now, if we're being honest about it. And he's sitting next to his manager, a cancer survivor, without the mask on? Wouldn't listen to anybody, according to Major League Baseball, what they had to say? Don't care. My moment, my time. There aren't two sides to that story. I gave the case that there are two sides, and it was understandable the move that Kevin Cash made, while many of us may not agree with it last night. There aren't two sides. Turner, 100% wrong. But what are you going to do, Major League Baseball? What are you going to do? You can bring the heavy hand with that statement, say you're going to investigation, point at Turner for everything. So what? What are you going to do, suspend him some regular season games in 2021? Big deal. It's laughable because it reminds me of some of these schools that cheat, paying players, doing whatever they have to do. Well, they get the championship. They get the banner. Oh, no, you're going to take our banner away. We don't care. We have the memories. We have the title. We have the millions and millions of dollars that we have made. Nobody cares. Oh, you're going to be removed from the record book. What record book? We all saw it. Oh, on the official website? You're not going to have my name on there? Yeah, big deal. Big deal. Major League Baseball, just a hunk of metal, piece of metal. Piece of metal. Do whatever you want anyways. If you want to go conspiracy theory on this, Major League Baseball needed the Dodgers to win that game last night. And they knew in the middle of the game that Justin Turner tested positive for COVID. I'm telling you. Did they do anything in that game to help out the Los Angeles Dodgers so they didn't have to deal with the mess that would have been a potential game number 7 of the World Series with multiple players on the Dodgers testing positive for COVID-19? Did the umpires help in any way? I'm just saying. They knew in the middle of the game that the Dodgers had to win. The umpires knew because Turner was removed from the game. I'd have to look back at some of those calls. I'm just saying. You could make that case. Am I crazy, Jordan? Like, they had to have the Dodgers win that game last night. Had to.
You're totally right. 100%. because how do you justify that, especially if, like you were saying, like, what if you flip the coin and all of a sudden you have to play another couple of games? You've got to play another game, and all of a sudden this whole thing turns into a complete disaster. And you going out and saying that you're very proud of all these players and the success that they've had with the testing and keeping things limited. Like, the speech he gave last night, I don't think you can give that speech if you have to play another game and Turner's positive.
Here's another baseball story that's just annoying. We got another nugget on La Russa. Okay, the season's over now, so we're going to start to hear about these interviews going on with the White Sox and their managerial vacancy. The La Russa stories keep popping up. Somebody make this story go away. Get to that next. We'll tell you what it is, and also a trend I'm noticing in Bears wins and losses. This is the Joe O Show on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
I can't verify it, okay?
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.